Let's take our Bibles this morning, returning to John's Gospel, John chapter 6. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand if you would, please, and go with us to John's Gospel, John chapter 6. I'll give you a page number so you're able to follow along, page 1123. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand if you would, please. I want you to be able to follow right along here this morning with us. And go with me to John's Gospel in John chapter 6, page 1123. This morning we continue our study here in John's Gospel, and as we think about our theme for the year, more about Jesus, we want to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ through our study of John's Gospel. The last time we were here, we took a break last Sunday because of Father's Day, but a couple of Sundays ago, we were thinking about how wonderful Jesus really is as we were looking here in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 gives us what we call the bread of life discourse. It is a tremendous discourse that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, and it really points out that Jesus truly is wonderful. We saw a couple of weeks ago that he can be found if you really want him. Well, that's a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? If you want him, you can find him. And we found that not only that, but he always deals with us in the realm of truth. We don't have to worry about any falsehood when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw that as the bread of life, he completely satisfies the spiritual and hunger and thirst in our lives. Now this morning, we continue on in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to think about the Lord Jesus Christ in the fact that he is wonderful, not only in the fact that he saves, but once he saves, he also keeps. So this morning we're dealing with what we often refer to as the security of the believer. The security of the believer. Now if you've got your Bibles open, we'd like to stand for our scripture reading. In John chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. So just stand with me and follow along in your Bibles. Notice what it says. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Verse 38. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and as we do, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he truly is wonderful, and we're thankful, Lord, that not only does he save us, but that once we are saved, he keeps us saved. And Lord, what a blessing that is. And it's a thrill and joy to know, Lord, that once we're in your family, that we're secure in that family forever. And Father, as we look in the Word of God this morning, I pray that you'd help us to focus upon these truths and allow them to speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd work in our midst now this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here at Victory Bowl, inerrant Word of God, and we take the Bible as our sole authority for faith and practice. What we mean by that is we allow the Bible to dictate what we believe. We don't take our beliefs and maneuver the Bible to fit them. We let the Bible dictate to us what it is we're going to believe, and we allow the Word of God to dictate to us how we're going to live, our practice. We believe that it is God's Word, and that it is authoritative in all that it has to say. Therefore, when Jesus said in verse 35, look in your Bibles once again, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst," we take that quite literally. We believe that Jesus is the bread of life. We believe that he is the bread that if you will eat thereof, of that bread, you will have life everlasting. Now this afternoon when I go home, you know, I'm going to partake of some bread. You probably will partake of some bread as well, some food. And as you partake of that food, it's not going to last very long for you, especially you younger guys. You know, You're going to want an afternoon snack, and then by dinner time, you're going to want something else to eat, and then before you go to bed at night, you're going to want something else to eat before that. Does that sound like guys? Huh? All right. I had three of them in my house. All right. So I know what it's like to have some young men around that, you almost feel like you live down at the grocery store and trying to feed the guys and those things. And, we're going to eat some food, but none of that food's going to be very lasting for us. And it's only going to last for a short period of time. The Batsons were over at the house the other night for a little while as we were talking about some things and discussing some things. And they'd had their dinner before they came. And, Mrs. Batson, because of her health condition, she's trying to eat more healthily. Is that the right word to say? She's trying to eat better. And so, they're grinding up all this stuff, and drinking it, And I said, Brother Batson, I said, bless your heart, man. God bless you. You're right in there with your wife doing this thing to encourage her. And I said, how's it taste? He says, it tastes a little dirty. You put it in your mouth, it tastes a little, you get in there, it's a little dirty, And before Mrs. Batson left the house, she says, she says, it's run out, It hasn't lasted very long. What we're taking in now doesn't last very long. Well, aren't we glad that Jesus, if you take Him in, lasts forever? Aren't we thankful for that? And we believe that when Jesus said, In John chapter 6 and verse 35, that if you're spiritually hungry, and you'll come to Him, hey, you'll never hunger what? Again. And I'm thankful that Jesus said, if you're spiritually thirsty, if you'll come to believe on Him, trust Him to be the one to get you to heaven. He says, hey, you'll never be what? You'll never be thirsty ever again. Isn't that an exciting thing? I want you to understand here this morning that once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Him for our salvation, the Bible teaches that we are saved and we can never be lost for any reason whatsoever. I want you to understand that here this morning. The Bible would teach us that once a person comes to Christ, he is saved, he is safe, and he is secure for all of eternity. Get those words in your mind. If you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you, according to the Word of God, are saved. And not only are you saved, but you are safe. And not only are you safe, but you are secure for all of eternity. And as we look at this Bread of Life discourse this morning, I want you to notice with me five different ways that Jesus points out that once we're saved, we can never be lost. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 35 with me Jesus' use of the word never. It's found twice in the verse. And look at the verse, if you would, please. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall, here it is the first time, shall what? Never hunger. You might want to circle that word never in your Bible. The Bible says if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, you'll never hunger. And he says if you'll believe on me, here's the second time, he says you will never what? Thirst. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that thrilling? Well, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him for the salvation of your soul, and Jesus satisfies that hunger. Jesus satisfies that thirst. And He says, you come to me, you'll never hunger again. You will never, ever thirst again. That word never is an interesting word as it's used here. It's a powerful word. It's an emphatic word. In the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, it's the word oume. And that word oume means not at all, by no means, in no case, never. Hey guys, you ever had a girl that turned you down like that? She oomed you? You thought, man, she's sort of cute. I'd sort of like to ask her out. And so you went over and asked her out, and she said, no. And you were a little persistent. You went back. And she got a little stronger and said, no way. And you got persistent, and you went back, and she said, no way, Jose. And you still continued to be persistent, and this time she looked at you dead in the eyes and said, I have already told you no three times, no way, Jose, and I want you to know now, it's never happening. You can ask me till the day I die, it's not going to happen. Now, if some girl ever did that to you guys, she just oomed you. That is really the extent of that word. That is the power of that word. So when Jesus says, if you come to him, you're never going to hunger. If you believe on him, you're never going to thirst. You know what Jesus is saying there? It's not going to happen. Why? Because I've satisfied it. I've taken care of it. You see, the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us is that. It is salvation. Salvation. Does everybody understand this? Salvation is not probation. Salvation is salvation. And salvation is complete. And if it's not complete, it's not salvation. But Jesus came to bring us salvation. Now take your Bibles and hold your place here and go with me to Hebrews chapter 7. It'll be on page 1297 if you have one of our Bibles handed out to you. And in Hebrews chapter 7, notice here with me in Hebrews chapter 7, page 1297, if you have one of our Bibles, page numbers are up on the top there of the page. And in Hebrews chapter 7, look at this verse if you would please. I just want you to understand here this morning, if you've come to Jesus and believed on him to be the way to heaven, he has saved you. You are safe and you are secure from all of eternity. It's not based upon what the preacher's saying. It's based upon the Word of God, what God says in his Word. And in Hebrews chapter 9, notice our chapter 7, in verse 25, look what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he, Jesus, is able to save them to the, get it now, to what? Uttermost. That come to God by him. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ able to give us a complete salvation? To save us to the uttermost. Because the Bible says he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for us. Our salvation is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me very carefully as we flip back to John chapter 6. And as we go back to John chapter 6, Jesus said you'll never hunger. Jesus said you will never thirst. And do you understand that if we could be saved today, but lost sometime in the future, Jesus used the wrong word. You understand that? Because never means never. It's an emphatic word. It is a strong word. It means it's not happening. It's never going to happen. You come to me, you're never going to get spiritually hungry again in your life. Why? Because I've satisfied it. You believe on me, you're never going to get spiritually thirsty again in your life. Why? I've satisfied it. I have brought you life everlasting. Life everlasting. So how do we know that once we're saved, we can never be lost? Well, because of the word Jesus uses in John 6:35. He uses that word what? Talk to me. He uses that word what? Oh, come on now. He uses that word what? Never. You're going to make me work hard today, all right? You got to help me out here. He uses that word never. Now let's go on. Let's go look in the next verse, if you would please. In verse 36, he says, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And in verse 37, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So here's the second reason why the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you can never be lost. And that is Jesus promised. He promised. Look at the promise in verse 37 at the end of the verse. He says, I will in no wise do what? Cast out. Now the words no wise mean just that. Jesus isn't cashing out for any reason. And Jesus gave his word. He gave his word. He gave a promise. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, here's the promise. I will in no wise do what? Cast out. So we've got the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus as God never lies. Never lies. You know, people like to ask the question, is there anything God cannot do? Is there anything God cannot do? Well, the answer to that is yes. Don't let that throw you. Don't let that shock you. There's one thing God cannot do, and that is he cannot lie. Aren't we glad for that? Aren't we glad the Lord cannot lie? In fact, in In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it tells us that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Let's take our Bibles and look at that real quickly. Hold your place here in John's Gospel. Go with me to the book of Titus. To your right, Titus chapter 1, page 1283. And go over there, if you would please, to the book of Titus, over to your right, 1283. Titus chapter 1. And as we look in Titus chapter 1, it's over to your right. Your T's are all together. And if you come to the book of Titus, it's the last one. There's five books in the Bible that start with T. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. They're all in alphabetical order. And now you've found it and you've got it, right? Hopefully it'll help you. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, look what it says. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God, now look at this, God that can not, what? Lie. So God cannot what? Lie. And it says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, He promised before the world began. You know, God is a God of truth. Amen? Aren't we glad for that? He always tells us the truth. He doesn't lie. And when He says, I'm not going to cast you out, you know what He means? I'm not going to cast you out. I will in no wise cast you out. God cannot lie. God always keeps His promises. Always. On our way back to John's Gospel, we'll stop at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's to your left from where you're at. Page 1231. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 20, notice what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 20, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in Him are, look at this now, are what? Yea, and in Him what? Amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now you might read that verse and say, well, I don't really understand what that means. But when it says all the promises of God in Him, in God, are yea, that means they are yes. That means they are yes. If God makes a promise, it is yes. I am going to fulfill it. Yes, I am going to do it. And He says, not only are they yes, but He says in Him also they are amen. And that word amen means they are firm, they are trustworthy, they are going to come to pass. So if God makes a promise, you can count on God. God's going to fulfill His promise. Aren't we glad we have a God that always speaks the truth, a God who cannot lie, and a God who always fulfills His promises? Aren't we thankful for that this morning? Yeah. Now look back in John chapter 6 and look at this promise. In John chapter 6, in verse 37, I hope you held your place there. Always hold your place in John's Gospel. We'll keep coming back there. We are a Bible-believing church here, and we do believe in using the Bible in our services. And in John chapter 6, notice if you would please, in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and here's the promise, and him that cometh to me, again, I will in what? No wise cast out. Well, somebody's going to come along, and they're going to ask this question. Or at least they're going to think it in their mind. If Jesus promised to never cast me out, does that mean then it's okay for me to go out and live as I please? See, people think this way. Yeah. Jesus said He'll never cast me out. Does that mean it's all right for me to go out and live however I want to? Well, the answer to that question is no. No. Now listen very carefully, please. How we live our lives does not bring us our salvation. And how we live our lives does not keep us our salvation. We're not saved by what we do, and we're not kept by what we do. Jesus brings us our salvation. What did He say in verse 35 once again? Jesus said in verse 35, He said, I am the bread of what? Life. Now, if you want everlasting life, you better go to the one who's got it. Amen? And it's not in us. I'm not saved by what I do. I'm not saved by my good works. Look over in Romans chapter 4 so you can see this. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Page 1196. Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, notice if you would please in verse 5. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, page 1196, the Bible says this. And look what it says in relationship to a man and his works and whether or not they'll get him to heaven. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him, on Jesus, that justifies the ungodly, that person's works are counted for righteousness? No, it says that person's what? Faith is counted for righteousness. What's Romans chapter 4, verse 5 teaching us? It's teaching us that our works do not bring us into a right standing before God. God says, but to him that worketh not. It's coming to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him to be the one to get us to heaven, not trusting our works. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2 to your right, please. Ephesians chapter 2, page 1251. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at these verses, please. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look in verses 8 and 9, page 1251. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And he goes on and says that salvation is not of yourselves. God says it is the what? Gift of God. And then verse 9 says, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. Look up here and let me use this illustration. And let me help you understand what I'm trying to communicate here this morning. If I could let this hand here this morning represent all of us that are in this room. So what's my left hand going to represent? All of us. And I'm going to use my wallet to represent our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in God's sight, I'm a sinner. In God's sight, you're a sinner. In God's sight, we're all sinners. We got that down? We all have sinned. So the wallet representing our sin, I place it on the hand just illustrating the fact that in God's sight, we're all sinful people. We've done things wrong. We've disobeyed God. We've chosen our way over God's way. We've broken his commandments. We've all sinned against God. The wallet representing sin, here we are in God's sight. We are sinful individuals. Now, the Bible teaches that heaven's without sin, that heaven is perfect. To go to heaven on our own, we would have to be just as good as God. Are we good as God? No. We all have what? Sin on us. And God says that that sin must be punished. God says that sin must be judged. And God says there's one punishment for sin. There's one judgment for sin. The wages of sin is death. So if we got what we deserved, we would die and be eternally separated from God forever. You say, well, I thought I could go to church and that would impress God. That would help me to earn God's favor. Now, wait a minute. Going to church is good to do, and going to church is the right thing to do. But going to church will not pay for our sin, because God says the wages of sin is death. Therefore, going to church isn't what gets us to heaven. You say, well, I thought I ought to be good and do good works and good deeds and help people out. Well, those things are things that we ought to do in life, but wait a minute now. They're not going to pay for our sin because the wages of sin is what? Death. So they're not going to get us to heaven. Here's the good news. Follow this now. Letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, he's God who took on flesh. He loves you and I, but he hates our sin. He hates our sin because it's our sin that separates us from him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, now get this, loved you and I so much that he came down to this earth, he died on a cross, and in dying on that cross, what did he do with our sin? He took our sin and fully paid for it. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, died in our place, paid that sin debt, was buried and rose again the third day. Hey, listen, that verse teaches, for by grace you're saved through what? Faith. If you'll come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died in your place and fully paid your sin debt, was buried and rose again the third day, God says you're saved. And he says that salvation is not of yourselves. He says it's the gift. It's what God offers to you freely. And he says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by Jesus Christ and by what Jesus Christ did for us. Neither do we keep our salvation by what we do. You say, well, is it okay for me to go out and live as I please? And the answer to that is no. God rewards us for doing what is right. God will chasten us for doing what is wrong. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Page 1303, Hebrews chapter 12. Once we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, putting our faith in Him to be the one to get us to heaven, we become a child of God. And God becomes our Father. And God begins to deal with us out of a father-son relationship. And in Hebrews chapter 12, notice the Bible says this. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth," get this now, "He what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He what? Receives." So when you as a child of God begin to live in a disorderly manner, well, is it okay for me to trust Christ as Savior, go out and live as I please? No, God's going to do what? He's going to chasten you. He's going to bring correction into your life. And God has various ways of correcting His children. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian believers were not living the way they should have been living. And God used health issues to bring chastening into their lives. The children of Israel, over in Haggai chapter 1, were not living the way they should have been living. God brought loss of income into their lives to chasten them. David committed sin in the Old Testament. God took away his joy from his life. Unrest and turmoil going on in his life as a way of chastening him. God has various ways of chastening individuals, of correcting individuals. Why? Because he's a father who loves us and he wants us to live honoring to him. But then this issue of once I'm saved, am I saved for all of eternity? And the answer is yes. Because Jesus promised he will in no wise cast us out. Go back with me to John chapter 6, if you would please. As we move further into the text here this morning, in John chapter 6, once we have salvation, it can never be lost. How do we know that? Because Jesus uses the word never in verse 35. Because Jesus makes the promise in verse 37, I will in no wise cast out. Then look in verse 38, if you would please. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that what? Sent me." Well, that's the third reason why we can't lose our salvation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of the Father which sent me. Now, as you compare Scripture with Scripture, you realize that the will of the Father was for Jesus to come to be the Savior of the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. We'll not turn there, but if you're taking notes, you can write down the reference. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Why did Jesus come? He came to be a what? Savior. He came to be a Savior. Sometimes to illustrate what it means to be a Savior, we like to use the illustration of a person who's drowning. And if you have a person who is out drowning and does not know how to swim, he needs someone to come along and deliver him from that condition, that drowning condition. And if somebody comes along, sees the person drowning, and throws him a book, you know, three easy lessons on how to swim, and then goes off leaving the person drowning, is that a Savior? No. If somebody else comes along and sees him drowning and jumps in the water, gives him some quick swimming lessons, showing him how to swim, and then gets back in his boat and drives off, is he a Savior? No. Somebody else comes along, sees the guy drowning, pulls him into his boat, gets him close to shore, but about a half mile from shore, kicks him overboard out of the boat. Is he a Savior? No. A Savior is someone that takes that drowning person, puts him all the way to safety, all the way to heaven's shore. Jesus said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. What's the will of the Father that sent him? To be a what? Savior to mankind. Jesus Christ is not taking us partway to shore. He's taking us all the way to shore. He came to be fully our Savior from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ truly is a wonderful Savior. Then notice, if you would please, as we continue on in verse 39. In verse 39, the Bible says this, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me," look at what he says now, "I should lose," how many? "Nothing, but should raise it up again at the last," what? "Day." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'm not going to lose you." And sometimes we get the idea that we have to hold on to the Lord in order to be saved. And that's not the issue. The issue is that the Lord is holding on to us. He's holding on to us. Look over in chapter 10, in John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, Jesus makes a wonderful statement in John chapter 10 and verse 28. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus says this, and look in your Bibles. Jesus said, "And I give unto them," what kind of life does he give us? Eternal life. And he says, "And they shall never," what? "They'll never perish." And he goes on to say, "And neither shall any man pluck them out of my," what? "Hand." So the issue here is not that we are holding on to God, but that he's holding on to us. Jesus has us in his hand. But notice what the next verse goes on to say, verse 29. Verse 29 goes on to say, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So it's like this. If I could let the pen represent those of us that have come to believe on Jesus as our Savior, the moment we believed on Christ as our Savior, we were found in his hand. And not only were we found in his hand, but the Bible says we're also found in the Father's hand. And who is able to pluck us out of his hand? And the answer is nobody. Nobody. You see, Jesus says, "I'm going to lose nothing." He says, "I am no wise going to cast you out, and I'm not going to lose anyone. I will lose nothing." Then if you would please go back to John chapter 6. And as we go back to John chapter 6, we see in verse 40 that the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement. He says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have," now what do we have?
Everlasting
life. And he says, "I will raise him up again at the last," what? "Day." What kind of life is it that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to those who believe on him as Savior? The Bible says that he gives everlasting life. Everlasting life. What's that mean? It means life that is everlasting. So if I have eternal life today, or everlasting life today, but somewhere in the future I could lose it, guess what I didn't have? I didn't have everlasting life. Because everlasting life is life that lasts forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to provide for us temporary life. He didn't come to be a probation officer to us. He said, "Okay, I'll save you as long as you live a certain way, or as long as you don't do certain things." No, he says, "I'm going to save you from your sin. I am the Savior of sinners. And I am going to provide for you life that is everlasting." Everlasting. So my friend, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, what kind of life has Jesus given to you? Everlasting. And if you have everlasting life today, what kind of life will you have tomorrow? And if you have everlasting life tomorrow, what kind of life will you have next week? And if you have everlasting life next week, what kind of life are you going to have next month? And if you have everlasting life next month, what kind of life are you going to have next year? And if you have everlasting life next year, what kind of life are you going to have 20 years from now? And if you have everlasting life 20 years from now, what kind of life are you going to have 1,000 years from now? The guy says, "I'm not going to live that long." Now the answer is, we're going to still have what? Everlasting life. You understand kind of life that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us, it indeed is everlasting. And once we've come to the Lord Jesus and believed on Him, we are saved, and we're saved for all of eternity, and we never have to be afraid or fear losing our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed is a great Savior. And if you're here today and you've never come to the Lord Jesus and believed on Him to save you from your sin, I would urge you to do so. If you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on Him, may you rejoice in the great God and Savior that He is. We have a perfect, a complete, and secure salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here this morning and you've never come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the one to save you from your sin. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners in God's sight. And as sinners, we must be saved from our sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus Christ took that death in our place. He fully paid our sin debt, was buried, and rose again the third day. He simply says, as sinners, you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can have a home in heaven if you'll come to me, believing on me to be your way to heaven. And if you're here this morning, you've never done that. You've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Him as the sinless Son of God who died in your place to be your way to heaven. Then I would urge you to do so today. Just where you're sitting while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have His salvation here this morning. You can simply say something to God right where you're sitting. You don't have to say anything out loud. Just simply acknowledge to God, God, I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved from my sin. And here this morning, I've come to believe on Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He paid my sin debt. And the best I know how, right here this morning, I'm believing on Him. I'm trusting on Him to save me from my sin. My friend, if you'll do that, He will give you life everlasting. You'll be brought into His family, and God will never kick you out. He'll never lose you. If you're here doing that here this morning, if you're making that decision to believe on Christ, I'd like for you to pray for me. I'd like to be able to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, I've here today believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I want you to know I'm doing that. I want you to pray for me. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just quietly slip your hand and slip it down so I could pray for you? Anyone at all this morning by way of uplifted hand would say, pray for me. Here this day I'm coming to Christ, believing on Him. I want you to pray for me. I hope you know you have eternal life. I hope you've believed on Christ. And if you have believed on Him, the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to you is a secure salvation. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that He is the bread of life. When we come to Him and believe on Him, we never hunger, we never thirst. We thank You, Lord, that You promised never to lose us, never to cast us out. We thank You, Lord, for the provision of everlasting life, that once we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are safe and we are secure for all of eternity. What a wonderful Savior the Lord Jesus Christ is. We praise You and thank You for Him this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.